It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Though the morning may be a little dark, damp, and gray, our dispositions are nevertheless sunny. They always are when we come in here into our fair compound. And we welcome you in a little corner of our lives, and we're pleased you welcome us into at least a small corner of yours. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Light the Tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Viewable by those of you viewing us via Twitch. We're live, we're local and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. My name is Craig Way. Glad to have you with us alongside, as always, so proud to have alongside my co-host, the pride of Northwest Williamson County. Speaking of pride, a proud graduate of Florence High School.
And, you're damn right.
And even though he has not yet been able to find out when his alma mater holds its graduation here in the next couple of weeks.
I'm sure it's sometime soon.
He'll be on that. Meanwhile, he's also a former all-district offensive lineman for the Florence Buffaloes. You know him best for his outstanding work at Orange 24/7. That would be Jeff Howe.
I'm coming up on 20 years, Craig.
See, you got your 20-year graduation coming up. You know.
the old reunion.
That'll be nice.
I had to miss the 10-year.
Well, you know what? This is what I was told about. I went to my 20. I didn't go to my 10-year high school reunion. And I was told the 20-year reunion was you're going to enjoy that a lot more because the 10-year reunion, the people that come back are still trying to prove they made it in the world or whatever. The 20-year, nobody gives a damn anymore. So and you know what?
Everyone's just there for the food and free booze.
And seeing some people or whatever. And when I went to my 20-year reunion, it was wonderful. Yeah, I had a great time.
Cool.
And I was going to go to my 30. Yeah, I've been out of high school more than 30 years. I was going to go to my 30, and I had plane tickets and everything. It got rescheduled. Arkansas in 2008 because of Hurricane Ike. Remember, they pushed it to the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an open date for Texas and Arkansas because originally it was going to be like the 13th of September, and then they pushed it back to like the 27th when the reunion was. So couldn't make the 30, and I haven't been to the 40 either. So
So the 10 happened on a Texas OU weekend. So
okay.
That was
no shot
as a non-starter. Yeah, saw the calendar. I was like, yep, can't do that. So hopefully the 20 works out.
We know he's been out of high school at least 10 years. How long exactly he's been out of high school is for him to know and us to guess. Meanwhile, he is our producer and the purveyor of all things good with Flex ATX, Jonathan. John Donaldson, J.J. Donaldson. We know him as Snoop Daniel. Good morning, Snooper.
What up? Left Vandegrift this morning.
Did you?
Yep. Good spirits out there in a team that made the state quarterfinals last year.
The Vipers and head coach Drew Sanders. Okay, well, that's good. So you continue your spring football tour around the greater Austin and Central Texas area.
I'm getting all the looks. Well, just that insane.
What do you mean you're getting the look?
Well, looks as far as, you know, like the early looks.
Oh, your look. I thought you meant people were looking at you.
Yes.
Like, I'm getting looks. So that people like that say, how long has he been out of high school anyway? So, okay. All right. So just want to make sure.
Beautiful morning. I tell you, like, this is a wonderland to cover football in May and it be this cool outside. I'm not complaining.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. You know what else is awesome? We're not going to bury the lead here. Okay, we're just going to be out front with it. The 2021 Austin Chronicle Best of Austin Readers poll has been unveiled. We asked you a few weeks ago to vote on it. And the award for best sportscaster in Austin. Snoop, can I get some? Can I get some music? Craig Way, congratulations.
Thanks.
Best sportscaster in Austin, according to the 2021 Austin Chronicle, best in Austin readers poll.
Somehow I feel like I've had my own Mr. Miyagi over the years with me, you know. So I had several different mentors. But thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
We want to save wavelength. Me and Jeff didn't even, like, plan that. But he had what he had planned. I had what I had planned.
We can't get it right on Joseph O's side cuts, but on stuff like
there's
this.
There's some synergistic quality at work
good.
There.
We're golden, man.
Okay. Thank you, though. Really, I appreciate that. And thanks to those of you who voted and those of you saying the nice things right now on Twitter and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It is wonderful. It is. I would not I'm not going to downgrade anything like that, because anytime you are recognized by the people you're trying to serve, then it means something. So I've been blessed and fortunate enough to have a few nice things come my way, some nice honors and stuff like that. And this is the first time to be honored in this particular fashion. And it means a lot, because every day we're visiting with you, the folks here in the greater Austin and Central Texas area, as well as those of you online at hornfm.com and viewing us on Twitch. So thank you. I mean it sincerely from the bottom of my heart. It means a lot. And the best way to thank you is just to keep doing what we do and to keep, working to bring you a good show every day and to do my job to describe what's happening on the fields of endeavor by your University of Texas Longhorn men's and women's athletic teams. It's kind of quiet here for a couple of days because baseball is off this weekend, and they'll be back in action on Tuesday night against Rice. But thank you. It's very nice of you. Appreciate that. And those of you on texting in the congratulations, thanks. So very nice. Very nice.
And I'm glad Snoop and I can be a little part of that.
Yeah, you are a big part of it.
Well,
you're
the franchise for a reason, Craig. You're the voice of the Longhorns, the Hall of Famer. And again, in case
isn't this where I'm supposed to say this is a team award? You know, where this is where
Snoop's name isn't on that thing. My name's not on that thing.
Yeah, but you know, it's a team award. It's all of us. It's those. And listen, it's for everybody involved with the broadcasts here and also with the broadcast of Longhorn Sports as well. So thank you. It's very kind. Onward and upward we move with regard to, you said it was a couple other things you had to jump in with before we jumped to your reaction on the NFL scheduling.
I'll go ahead and give you these, Craig, because you're not going to be here. So tomorrow is our card pack, our card break Friday.
I will be out tomorrow.
Yes. Actually, go ahead and lay it out. I mean, this obviously you didn't plan this around your award that you received this morning.
I just found out a little while ago, like within like the last half an hour or 45 minutes.
What you're doing this weekend. So I didn't want to get into it because I didn't want to spoil it, weather, whatever. I didn't want to be the reason that your trip was jinxed. So it's Thursday. So, Craig, I think you're as in the clear as you're going to be to go ahead and lay your plans out.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll give it a shot and see. Because this is an open day weekend for Longhorn baseball, and it's not often I have an opportunity really to just kind of unplug and get away for a couple of days, other than that one summer vacation that we refer to as the sabbatical. That's when I get away for a bit, and it's the only time and then come back, recharge, and ready to go the next 11 months. A couple of years ago, Linda and I went out to Las Vegas. She had never been to Las Vegas. We went out there because I wanted to see Steely Dan, and we had a great time. But that was like an exception to the rule. Normally, even on the out-of-town, on the open date weekends for Longhorn baseball, because you don't have them in basketball, men's, women's basketball. They're just going. And you might have one in football, but there's still things to be done, and there's the high school show to do up in Dallas. So right. It's not that you're really working even on the open date weekends for that. But it's truly an open weekend. So we were just kind of, you know, looking around online and messing around online and found a couple of really cheap airfares out to L.A. And like I've said on this program, I have, Svengali'd her into becoming a Dodger fan like myself. Taking her to a couple of World Series games will kind of help push that along.
Right.
The Dodgers at home, I know they've been struggling a lot lately. They've won two in a row now and three of their last four, so maybe they're starting to turn it back around. They're at home this weekend, so we said, why don't we go out to L.A.? And then, as chance would have it, Clayton Kershaw's pitching tomorrow night.
How about that?
So we're going to go out and see the Dodgers and Marlins tomorrow night. Kershaw's pitching tomorrow night, and I think Trevor Bauer's pitching on Saturday. I don't know if we'll get to that game or not, but we're definitely going. We're planning to go tomorrow night to see them. So yeah, I'll be out tomorrow because we're flying to LA later this afternoon and just kind of getting away for the weekend. Yeah, we'll go to a ball game, but just, you know, she hasn't spent much time around Los Angeles as well, so we'll just kind of look around and, you know, have a couple of nice meals, stuff like that. So it's just to get away. I'll be back by early Sunday afternoon and ready to go back in, and hopefully my weekends will then be tied up for the next, like, 5 weeks, because that would mean that the Longhorn baseball team would be going all the way into Omaha and deep, and with a deep run at the College World Series. We'll see on down the road. So I say hopefully it's just as catching my breath for the moment for a big stretch drive to the regular season and the postseason and a deep postseason run before we get to the summer. So that's what's happening. So you guys – tomorrow, like you say, you're going to be doing more card opening tomorrow?
Card opening Friday, pack break Friday. It's going to be a little bit different because that ties into something I've got an inconceivable today.
Came
up that's going to alter our plans a little bit there. I'll break that down. But Craig, I was sorting through some stuff and sleeving some stuff last night, and I figured I'd pass those on to you.
Really?
Yeah.
Very nice. Let's see what we got here.
Those are a couple of the cards I was telling you about. So in this year's Topps baseball set.
Ooh, Kershaw.
That's a Kershaw Chrome, but if you hold it up for those watching on Twitch, some of the Chrome inserts this year, they're molded in that 1952 Topps.
I like it. Yeah.
So there's a Kershaw there for you.
And a Mookie.
And a Mookie Betts.
Yeah, that's that's outstanding.
And I couldn't find you a 1970 Willie Mays Topps number 600 card, but that's part of the 93 Upper Deck Willie Mays Hero Series commemorating his 600th home run.
Yeah, the guy I consider to be the greatest ball player of all time. And, of course, he played for the Giants, you know, for the vast majority of the career, which is, so it's saying something coming from a Dodger fan, but I do. And he just turned 90 last week, so. Yep. Thank you. Maybe I can get Kershaw to autograph it.
You never know.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. Not a problem, Craig. Yeah. So before we talk schedule, just lay out the rest of the show. We've got Notebook coming up next segment, which we'll do a little bit of cleanup there from some news notes and nuggets that have dropped on the gridiron in the football realm on the 40 acres. We'll get some notes taken care of.
Good.
I've also got an article I want to get to, and just kind of a little, not theory I've got, but I want to throw a suggestion out there and get some conversation going Texas football-wise. Our Notebook next hour, I'm going to look at five Longhorn-specific matchups on that NFL schedule release that really intrigue me that have to do with Longhorns in the NFL. Some lifetime Longhorns getting after it. So we'll do that in the second notebook. And we've got Inconceivable. But, Craig, I'll start with you, Craig. This NFL schedule release, did you have a chance to go through the Rams schedule? Like it, not like it? I know that NFC West is not easy to navigate at all. It never is. Hasn't been recently. Hasn't been for a long time. You like the schedule? Easy?
Within mere moments of the schedule release last night when it was on, I was watching the NFL Network's version of it, and I flipped a couple of times to ESPN. The problem with the ESPN rendition is they took it as a big promotional vehicle, so they were really pumping their Monday night schedule and talking about that. So the vast majority of what I watched was on NFL Network, where they had the constant crawl, which, I mean, I'm even looking at it, they still have it right now, the constant crawl going on of each team's schedule, just rolling through. And then they had, an interview with Matthew Stafford during the course of the deal. So, yes, I did take a look at it, and it's not an easy schedule. It's, I believe, it was listed in the top 10 as one of the more difficult schedules in the NFL based on based on winning percentages from last year. And I always thought, by the way, that that can be a little bit overcooked because that was last year, and it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit different. Some teams are going to be a lot different than how they were last year. So,
yeah, I'm looking at CBS Sports as the rankings, and I'm not just keeping that in the Viacom CBS family because that's where my paychecks come from.
Yes, I understand.
Shameless plug. But, yeah, CBS Sports, based on, again, this is based on opponents' combined record from last season and opponents' winning percentage. The Rams' 10th toughest schedule.
Okay, 10th,
in the
yeah.
NFL in 2020.
Yeah, so in the top third there of that. There's it's very interesting because they open on that Thursday night, as we know, or Sunday night, excuse me, yeah. The first Sunday night game of the year.
Yeah, because the Cowboys Bucks is the Thursday game,
right? So the Rams have a Sunday night game against the Bears, then they go to Indy, play the Colts, and then it's Tom Brady and Tampa Bay coming to town.
That could very easily be a 1-2 start.
That's why I said it's going to be difficult. Yeah. And then you go Arizona at home, at Seattle, at the Giants. How about this, as I talk about taking a look at open dates on schedules, the open date on the Longhorn schedule for football, mm-hmm. October the 23rd, I believe
something
it is.
Like that, yeah.
That weekend, the Rams are at home against the Detroit Lions. So
you get Matthew Stafford versus Jared Goff.
Versus Jared Goff. You know, that's so I don't know if I'll be going out there for the game, but at least it'll be something to watch, you know, there on that weekend. Then they're in Houston to play the Texans. So maybe that helps. They get the Titans at home. Then they have a Monday night game in San Francisco. They play at Green Bay on Thanksgiving weekend, a game against the Packers. Jacksonville at home, at Arizona. Seattle at home. They play at Minnesota, and then they're at Baltimore, and they have San Francisco at home. The San Francisco road game, if I'm correct, yeah, it's a Monday night game they have. I think the Rams are one of eight teams that have five primetime appearances. Obviously, the Cowboys are one of those five teams in there as well. So that's what I think of the Rams schedule. It's not easy. So let me ask you guys. Because you're both Cowboy fans.
Mm-hmm.
How about your thoughts on the Cowboys?
I don't think I could be much happier about the schedule that befell the Dallas Football Cowboys. Because according to CBS Sports, it's the second easiest schedule of 32 in the National Football League. And, you know, part of that, obviously that's opponents' records last season.
Sure.
It's intriguing, Craig, because the cross-divisional matchups, you know, basically the divisions that you're going to play this year to make out the rest of your schedule, for the Cowboys, it is the AFC West and the NFC South. So while you do have to face Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, the Cowboys are going to be at Arrowhead in Week 11 on November 21st. That is the that's going to be the Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, Fox game. And you have the Raiders on Thanksgiving. But, I mean, we don't know what we're going to see from the Chargers in year two with Justin Herbert. The Broncos are... The Broncos are just kind of one of those franchises right now that seems like they're kind of in limbo right now. I wouldn't call them on the cusp of being a contender, but I don't know that I wouldn't say they're terrible either. They're just kind of there. And then that NFC South, Craig, that's a Drew Breesless Saints club that the Cowboys are going to play. They get the Saints in the Superdome in New Orleans. In Week 13, they've got the Panthers early on in the season. That's going to be Week 4, October 3rd. The Panthers will come to Texas Stadium. And then the Falcons, obviously hosting the Falcons again, which hopefully they don't need the watermelon kick this time to beat the Falcons. But I think they, you know, not cross-divisional, but basically the divisions that fill out your schedule, getting the AFC West and the NFC South worked out pretty well for the Cowboys. But there's not... Other than the opener, Craig, there's not anything that you look at, and I think if you're a Cowboys fan, that you're really all that freaked out by.
Yeah, you know, and speaking of being freaked out by something, Did you see the Jerry Jones Post Malone?
I loved it.
Did you?
Yeah.
For folks who didn't hear, this is just the audio.
I haven't seen it either, so this will be my first time hearing it.
Okay, all right. And again, it may lose a little something to those of you who are not viewing it, but this is it right here.
Come in.
Jerry.
Have a seat.
Thank you, Jerry.
He looks high. Jerry,
I brought the 2021 schedule for you.
Like a minute.
Oh, I've been waiting. I've been waiting such a long time.
Me too, Jerry.
You know, I love this day. Let's go celebrate.
What's wrong, Sam? You okay?
You all right?
Yeah, no, I'm better now. I'm better now.
G-Wagon, 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 all the housewives pulling up. I got a lot of toys, 720S bumping Fallout Boy. You was talking shit in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Back when I was feeling unforgiving. I know I pissed you off to see me winning.
I don't know if it's... If there's anything like explicit,
I don't think there was anything else objectionable because they played it this morning.
Oh, okay, okay. Just check it. Okay, I was like, whoa.
Not gonna do that on the cover.
Oh, yeah. Huh? Right here.
So this scene right here, it's Jerry Jones and Post Malone making it rain, but they're making it rain with schedule cards as Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott are walking through the star. And they're being hit, pelted with schedule cards.
It's a decent idea.
I liked it.
Yeah, that was cool. That wasn't bad because I think Zay didn't like it. That was cool.
I dug it.
But he didn't like Post Malone.
Yeah.
Is the deal. So it's going to be directly.
Yeah, not really probably the desired effect on air if you're listening to it, but go check that out. That's on my, if you're on the Twitter machine, on my Twitter account, @JeffHow247, I retweeted that when it came out last night. So.
A couple other things. First of all, from a personal perspective, you know what I could tell you? The thing that I like best about the Cowboys schedule? It was, and my son Andy beat me to it. He's not only a big Cowboy fan, he's also obviously my spotter on the Longhorn football broadcast and on the Texas High School State Championship broadcast. First thing he texted me was, "The network TV booth is ours for the state championship," because the Cowboys are on the road that week. And we've talked about this before. When the Cowboys are at home, even on a Sunday.
Is that Christmas week?
It's the week before the 19th.
Okay. Yeah, they are at the Giants.
That's it. So when the Cowboys play at home on a Sunday of the weekend of the UIL state championships, even though the Cowboys play on Sunday, the networks, Big Fox or NBC or CBS, do not allow what is now Bally Sports Southwest, Fox Sports Southwest, to use the network television booth for our broadcast of the state championships, our telecast. What they do is, what ultimately has to happen is, and the folks, thankfully, up in Las Colinas got creative with this and used an open area immediately adjacent to it, And so it's worked out pretty well, but it always works better when you're in that network television booth because it's palatial, it's huge, you got an incredible view of the field. It's the best broadcast booth I've ever worked in anywhere. So wow. It's something else. But
better than FedEx Field?
Just barely.
Which, by the way, is a dump.
It was awful.
It is a
leaky roof with it's raining. We're in the corner, dump. Low look, snowy. Staticky monitor TV in the booth. It was really bad.
I'm not asking for 5-star media accommodations when I go on the road. I just want to be able to sit in a press box through a thunderstorm and not get rained on. But apparently that's too much to ask for Dan Snyder and the crew that operates the Washington football team.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's great. So that was one thing that was sent with regard to that. It was like, hey, the booth is available. So I immediately forwarded that text
to the guys up at Las Colinas Studio. They were excited about it, and I immediately forwarded it to Dr. Charles Brightup, Dr. Jamie Harrison, and Dr. Susan Ells of the USL. They're like, yeah! So they were excited about it as well. All right, coming up, we'll have the notebook. By the way,
notebook time.
Somebody asking, just a couple of quick questions. I'll tell you what, we'll get to them when we come back because they are Longhorn related. So we'll do that because we do have our Longhorn notebook coming up. We do have Inconceivable. Got a couple of things, including something from Jeff as well. So we'll do that when we continue with Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. This is Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig Wade, Jeff Howe with you, Snoop Daniel alongside. And we've got a lot of things to get to, which includes Inconceivable coming up. I know some folks had asked earlier to Bucky and Aaron about David Pierce. He was involved in meetings this morning. He wasn't on with them. He's going to be on with us Monday morning, and then he will be back on next Thursday with Bucky and Aaron in their regular time slot. So Coach Pierce will join us on Monday. We may have another a guest coming your way on Monday and some other things to talk about as we go into that final week of the regular season of Big 12 Conference baseball for the Longhorns. Speaking of the Longhorns, it's time for the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook, brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cpdoors.com.
Which today provides a veritable cornucopia of items, correct?
Let's start with Paulia Nauteote, the USC transfer linebacker. So Texas was,
and I thought I had a mouthful with cornucopia.
It was kind of, Texas had been in the catbird seat for that deal, like we talked about, Craig. Everything we had heard, Texas had every reason to feel good, should have felt really good. Yeah, maybe not so much, because pretty much right after we got off the air on Tuesday, we start hearing word that Ohio State is involved, and he might be headed to Ohio State. Now, he hasn't announced anything publicly yet, but keep an eye on that. That was a position that Texas, again, they've looked to add bodies at inside linebacker through the transfer portal. I think that's where Devin Richardson, the New Mexico State transfer, I think that's where they're going to start him out, is on the inside with Ben Davis, Ovi Agofu, and Ray Thornton. Obviously, we saw Ray Thornton in the spring, but Ben Davis and Ovi Agofu coming in for the summer, those guys will be outside. I think they're going to start, at least that's my understanding of the plan, is to start Devin Richardson inside. So keep an eye on Paulia Nauteote to see what he does, but it does sound like it's down to Ohio State and Texas in terms of where he's going to end up, and this is a guy that the Longhorns really, really want. Good news, and Craig, this is just kind of the weird realm you get into when you're talking about transfer type things.
Yeah.
So Xavier Worthy commits to Texas on April 24th, the day of the spring game. As I said, it was kind of weird that his commitment went public right after Joshua Moore had a drop in the end zone, and I think it was Marcus Washington, I think, had a drop
right
in the spring game. Yeah, and then we get the announcement that that Xavier Worthy is committed to Texas. So he publicly commits to Texas. He gets his acceptance letter to school. All that happens before he's able to announce that he gets his release of his national letter of intent from Michigan, which happened yesterday. So Xavier Worthy, free and clear of the Wolverines. He's going to be on the 40 acres. And this goes back to, you know, one topic we hit on yesterday based on some feedback on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Now, wide receiver position, I'm not crazy about it. So the more able bodies, especially able bodies that have legit track speed the way he does, that can take a top off of a defense the way he projects to, the more bodies you can get in like that, the better. Especially, again, I don't think I can repeat it enough, Craig. Whatever you think of the talent level in this receiver group, that's up to interpretation. It's open for opinion. What's not open for opinion is Troy O'Meary, Jake Smith, Joshua Moore, Jordan Whittington, all four of those guys have had a major injury at some point in their career. And in the case of a guy like Jordan Whittington, and now I think you're getting to the point where you got to put Jake Smith in that category, guys that have extensive injury histories.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, as talented as they may be, like as talented as Jordan Whittington is and as good as he was in the spring and the flashes we saw in the spring game, I still don't know if you're Steve Sarkisian, I don't know how you can build an offense around him. And I don't say that as a knock on him, because I go back, Craig, to something you and I talk about all the time, and Rod mentions it as well. How many times did Mack Brown say there was a time where he couldn't trust Jordan Shipley?
Yeah.
Because of the injury history. And there was a time where he couldn't trust Bo Scaife because of the injury history. And lo and behold, both of those guys ended up having really good careers at Texas. In the case of Jordan Shipley, maybe the greatest receiver in school history. Both those guys end up playing in the National Football League. So in the end, it all works out. But I think Jordan Whittington's at the point in his career where if you're Steve Sarkisian, and Grant, the one thing that could change that dynamic is that injury history that's in the past. For Sark, it's just that it's in the past. None of that has happened on his watch.
Right.
And under his watch, Jordan Whittington's been healthy. He's been on the field. And when he's been on the field in practice settings, he's produced and produced at a really high level. So maybe the football gods are just on his side at this point, and he's going to have some good fortune. But that's just something to keep in mind with that receiver group. So anytime you can add a body like Xavier Worthy, that's definitely a good thing. And again, the way Sark wants to use his receivers with not being rigid to positional roles and, oh, well, this guy's an X receiver, so he's got to play into the boundary the entire time. No, you're going to move your best players around. Like, go watch an Alabama game and go watch what they did with Devontae Smith, how many different ways they used him, how much they moved him around within formations. And I'm not saying Texas has a Devontae Smith on this team. I would definitely not go that far. But the point is, Sark is a creative mind. He's going to use the weapons he's got, and yet another really important one was Xavier Worthy. Officially now. Officially.
Officially. By the way, someone on the Specs text line said that when your pronunciation said, who is Don Quixote or something? No, and not Don Quixote either, you know, with regard to that. So say it again for everybody.
Oh, the USC linebacker?
Yeah.
Paulia Nateyote.
There it is.
Paulia
Nateyote. So there you are with that. So there were here's somebody said, question, do the Horns have a chance to host at the Dish for Regional or Super, or is it neutral site due to COVID? It is not neutral site. The NCAA could happen as early as today, maybe tomorrow. Our good friend Kendall Rogers, D1Baseball.com. had said that sometime late this week the NCAA would announce the field of 20 possible regional host sites. It would eventually be trimmed to 16. You'll have the 16, and then, of course, the top 8 national seeds would be unveiled on Selection Monday and all that. So you would have that. But it could be announced as early as today, if not today, probably tomorrow, the field of 20 regional hosts before possible regional hosts before the field would be trimmed to 16. So they are going with regional hosts. I'd say the Longhorns are an absolute lock to be a regional host. And they have a really good chance to be a top 8 national seed based on their body of work, their RPI, which is number 3 in the country, and you know, obviously submitting the bid and a good site to host and all that sort of stuff, and their recent work, which would put them in great shape, which, by the way, would speak to the person from the 832 text and said, does anybody think the Horns are capable of winning the CWS? I don't know if you mean that sincerely or rhetorically speaking. The way they're playing right now, I posted this on Sunday after they took 2 or 3 from TCU and Fort Worth. Both of those teams are really good teams, as evidenced by their RPI, as evidenced by their national rankings, as evidenced by the fact almost certainly both are going to be top 8 national seeds, that both are capable, definitely, of being in Omaha. And then if they're in Omaha, once you get in Omaha, you've got a shot. It's like get into the deal, and you enhance your possibility and hopes of getting in Omaha the more you can play in your environment as a regional host and maybe even a top eight national seed.
One of the main reasons why Texas does have a chance to go win a national championship this year, look no further than, by the way, I don't know if it just happened like this or if this is what they plan to do. Is it just me or does the Athletic have the best baseball writers probably of any publication online or print in the country right
They're
now?
Good.
Keith Law came out with his draft rankings today. It's got Ty Madden at 23.
23 overall?
23 overall. So anytime you
got news for Keith Law. He's not lasting that long.
Yeah.
I have it on real good authority by some people who are in the major leagues that if he's available when they're picking, and this is more than one team, and they're both ahead of 23,
mm-hmm.
the Ty Madden will be taken.
Point being, Ty Madden's the kind of ace you need to go win a national championship. He's that good. I tell you who he reminds me of, Craig. I don't know if you can recall this guy off the top of your head. Ty Madden reminds me a lot, I saw this guy a lot when I covered Baylor. He reminds me a lot of Mark McCormick, who pitched at Baylor.
Okay, yeah.
Just in terms of a guy that put it all together at the mm-hmm. right time. And just, I mean, McCormick had, like Madden, just had one of those just electric arms to the point where I remember watching McCormick on a Friday night outduel Max Scherzer, and it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
When Missouri came to Baylor Ballpark and played a series.
Yes.
It's kind of who Madden reminds me of. Reminds me a little bit of Mark McCormick. But you got an ace with Ty Madden. But there's three reasons why I think Texas, why I feel better now. And it's not just because they won the TCU series. Aaron Nixon, mm-hmm. Tanner Witt, Cole Quintanilla.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the two freshmen to go into that environment in Fort Worth and pitch the way they did. You get that kind of bullpen help, you got a chance to beat anybody in the country.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. Completely agree. And to see the composure, I'm telling you, the wows that were coming, not from Longhorn fans or even media who cover the team, but from TCU. I heard it from the folks at TCU that they were absolutely jaw-dropped impressed with Aaron Nixon on Friday night. Throws that slider. Silas Ardoin has trouble feeling it, gets between the legs. It's a wild pitch. So you've got the tying run 90 feet away in the bottom of the ninth for TCU. The winning run's at second base. And what does Aaron Nixon do? Comes back with more sliders, a steady diet of breaking balls, and got the Horned Frogs either to strike out or, in the final case, fly out to left to Eric Kennedy to end the ball game. In other words, as they said, what is it that Bill Schoening likes to call it, Guchadonis, on that young man to throw that pitch, to throw that, become right back, knowing he could locate the slider, knowing it was his out pitch, knowing it was a wipeout slider, that he would come back and not have any reservations or hesitancy about doing it. That's the kind of stuff that coaches notice. That's the kind of stuff that scouts notice as well.
A couple other names in Keith Law's draft rankings, his prospect rankings, before we hit the break.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Wicks, the K-State lefty, sure. at 13 overall. And by the way, if Texas is going to go win a conference championship, you need Jordan Wicks to be that good for K-State to go take a game from TCU.
A week from tomorrow night.
Texas can handle business. Another guy we saw earlier in the year, Craig, Colton Cowser, the outfielder from Sam Houston State, mm-hmm. 14 overall.
He's good.
And toward the bottom of Keith Law's top 100, Bryce Miller, the A&M pitcher, comes mm-hmm. in at 96, and I mentioned him for two reasons. One, for the Aggies out there to know they've mm-hmm. got a draftable prospect. And my wife used to work with Bryce Miller's dad once upon a time.
Nice.
So, yeah, there you have it.
It's a bright spot in an otherwise difficult year for Aggie yeah. baseball. They've had a tough go of it.
I've got a feeling there's going to be a regime change in College Station after the year.
Okay. I've also heard that.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right, so there it is. There's the notebook. And we'll continue to somebody said don't bring up Augie Carrito and Austin Wood to Keith Law. Oh, yeah, about Woody throwing 169 pitches in the 25-inning game at Boston College, and that's where those people just didn't understand Austin Wood. It's where they didn't understand what was going on at the time. It wasn't just leaving the dude out there. When Skip Johnson walked out there two times, he said, I'm not coming out. I'm not coming out. He said, I'm not pitching in the major leagues for my career. This is my baseball life right here. At one point he said, and to this day, if you visit with Austin Wood, that epic 169 pitches, 13 innings of work, 12 innings of no-hit baseball that he did against Boston College in a deal, That's what he's known for. He wasn't planning on pitching in the major leagues. Giants gave him a brief look, but he was never really thinking about that seriously anyway. He was going to go on into the workforce. And so for folks to take the shots at the program that they didn't understand, they didn't know the kid's mindset, the program's mindset, and Augie's mindset and everything that was going on at that time. And they would all tell you to this day, if Augie were still with us, he would tell you, and certainly Skip Johnson would tell you, and Austin would say the first day it was going to happen that way.
But you got to have the hot take holstered, Craig, and have it ready to go.
Ready. Okay.
It's the way this media game works now.
Okay. All right. Coming up, we'll bring you Inconceivable, our Inconceivable segment. Here on Light the Tower, where we're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Inconceivable! Inconceivable!
You keep using the horn. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Inconceivable, as always, is brought to you by our good friend Dr. Matthew J. Crawford and his outstanding staff at Austin Orthopedics. They specialize in the prevention as well as treatment of sports-related injuries. You can check them out on the web at austin-orthopedics.com. Lead us off. You've got something.
So my plan for our pack break Friday, because we're going to open packs of training cards. My plan was we've got.
And by the way, thanks to Golf Lingo, who was he gave us cards, gave me a Sandy Koufax card, and he was also congratulatory to me today for the honor I got. So I'm grateful to you, Golf Lingo. Thank you very much.
And we will be telling you more about Brown Eye Clothing and browneyeclothing.com in the coming weeks here during that segment. But part of my plan, Craig, I was going to maybe go to Target early when they open, because that's how they've been doing it lately, because you know, the rush for sports cards, for people to buy them, and what people are doing, they're buying, like, not just hobby boxes, but the retail boxes, and flipping them for 3, 4, 5 times the retail price. Part of the reason why they're such a scarce commodity right now, because of COVID, a lot of the card companies had to cut back on how many print runs they were doing. So this year's cards are maybe more valuable than we've seen before, but it's gotten a little crazy. So Target started doing a deal where they were only releasing them at 8 a.m. on Fridays.
Wow.
And limiting you to one quantity per customer of NBA, NFL, MLB, and Pokemon products. Well, Target is now following Walmart in that they are suspending trading card sales indefinitely after a fight broke out in a Target parking lot in Brookfield, Wisconsin last Friday. After store shelves were restocked, police arrived on the scene, when witnesses called them, after one man pulled a gun. According to a local news report, I'm reading this from Vice, a group of men was attacking the gun owner when he pulled the weapon. The Target and Trader Joe's in that location went into lockdown for an hour after police arrived. The man never fired his weapon and no one was seriously injured, according to the police report. This occurred on May 7th at 8:20 a.m. outside of a Target store, which again has the policy of selling collectible merchandise at 8 a.m. on Fridays. According to the police report, four men attacked a fifth man when he exited the Target carrying a box of sports cards. So it said preliminary reports reveal that this altercation appears to have stemmed from a disagreement involving the purchase slash possession of sports trading cards obtained from Target. The police report said, during the assault, the victim, who is a concealed carry holder, was able to access his firearm, at which point the attackers fled on foot. No shots were fired, nor did he pursue his attackers. All four were located in the surrounding area and taken into custody. The victim suffered minor injuries, which did not require immediate medical attention on the scene. So basically, I read the story to say, I've got to change a segment. I've got to change a bit on this show.
Yeah.
Because somebody had to pull a gun in a Target parking lot after buying some cards.
Hey.
Outrageous.
Stoop, I don't remember it being that big a deal back in the day. Do you?
Well, no.
I don't remember guns.
A lover, not a fighter.
I don't remember firearms being pulled at any point. But
It didn't get quite that bad in terms of firearms being pulled, but firing did happen, or at least the resignation of the University of South Carolina president.
Heard about this one? Yeah.
There was a double-edged problem for this deal. The university president, Bob Caslin, resigned yesterday as the president of the University of South Carolina for a couple of reasons. First of all, he was delivering the consensus, the commencement speech, excuse me. He was delivering the commencement speech at the university. And when he was doing that, he congratulated the graduates of the University of California instead of South Carolina. So that was a problem. He tried to recover over the audible gasps from the crowd and said, "Sorry about that. I owe you push-ups." He's a retired Army lieutenant general and former superintendent and president of the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, according to the university's website. 29th president of the university, held the position for 2 years. But it didn't stop with that, unfortunately. He then went on in his speech to say these words, and I quote, "Know that life is not fair and that you will fail often. But if you take some risks, step up when the times are toughest, face down the bullies, lift up the downtrodden, and never, ever give up. If you do these things, then the next generation and the generations that follow will live in a world far better than the one we have today. And what started here will indeed have changed the world for the better." Now, does all that sound familiar to you guys?
A little bit.
Yeah, that was Admiral McRaven's speech.
So he just lifted it and verbatim?
And gave no attribution at all.
That's the problem.
And that was the speech that McRaven gave to the graduates at UT 7 years ago in 2014. And, of course, McRaven's commencement speech has been viewed over 13 million times on YouTube. Still is an inspiration to viewers. Of course, the whole thing about what starts here changed the world, everything, all that. And he said, quote, "I was searching for words about resilience and adversity, and when they were transcribed into the speech, I failed to ensure its attribution. I take full responsibility for this oversight." In a letter on Monday, he said he was truly sorry for having shared the quotes, but not giving the attribution. So, yeah, he resigned for basically verbally plagiarizing the speech. So he was out with that. All right, one other unfortunate thing here. You guys saw the story about the guy who was arrested on the murder charge and was walking the tiger around in Houston.
Yeah.
That is strolling, had the tiger strolling. Okay, so he's posted bond now, Victor Hugo Cuevas, previously out on bond for an unrelated murder charge, arrested Monday for evading police. Held on a $50,000 bond in neighboring Fort Bend County. Posted bond. It's one problem. The tiger is still missing.
Yeah, I saw that.
The tiger
Seriously?
Is still at large.
Oh, geez.
The tiger is still on the loose. And the tiger's name is India. Which, by the way, and of course, obviously owning a tiger is a violation of Houston law. But he said he doesn't own the tiger. His attorney says, The police saw my client go out in the yard and retrieve the tiger and assumed he's done a whole lot of different things he's not necessarily done, not guilty of. Just like they assume that the tiger is his. It of course is not. What do you mean, of course? He knew the tiger's name. Who walks around with a tiger that doesn't belong to them, right? Who walks around with a tiger?